Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to the Talking Nutrition Podcast. Today's episode 114. Pia's back for round three already. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here and looking forward to talking with you some more about nutrition.
Yes, absolutely. So today we wanted to dive into basically figuring out how much you should be eating, right? Should be, in quotes, for maintenance. Like, I'd like to prioritize kind of like maintenance here, to kind of helping you and, of course, your people figuring out, okay, how can you establish that? What are some things to kind of pay attention to? And then we'll talk about, you know, energy balance, macros, those kind of things. But do you have any personal updates?
Not much other than, I'm not sure if I said that here, but I'm pregnant, which affects my nutrition and my whole life. A whole lot. So our gaining phase, as we started working together with the goal of me gaining some weight and of course mostly muscle, we had to put that on pause because I got pregnant. But it's just like on pause. I just have to pop the baby and then we're back on track.
Just have to quickly, you know. No, that's I mean, like, I knew that already, of course, but I think now your people also know. So that's right. You actually didn't mention it yet last time. No, that's super cool. And this just shows as well, right? Because next time we wanted to talk about periodization, this is where we need to kind of take our goals and then also look at kind of like life and just making everything work together. I think that's a huge one because, sure, you could be like, hey, you know, I want to build muscle and I want to lose fat. And by the way, like, I'm also pregnant. So I want to also, you know, like, a lot of things don't necessarily go hand in hand, and we just need to respect that, you know?
Yes, and I'm so happy that I collaborated with you on beforehand, because now I can trust that me eating even more is like a good thing. I remember with my first pregnancy, I had like a bit of a bad conscience because I was eating a lot of food, and I was always trying to like limit my food intake, which at one point ended with me eating way too much of the chocolate, of the ice cream. Yeah, you know the drill. So putting what I learned from you, really using it still. And yeah, as I said, I'm just going to pop this baby and then back on track.
I love that. Now, like, it's also something where, in a way, it makes sense because you got, you know, you feel different. Let's say that. Right, as you go through that. I can't relate to it, I'm a dude, but like, obviously, right, there's definitely periods where it becomes more difficult, there's more like emotional stuff going on, and right, you're more likely sometimes to go for like the chocolate and those kind of things. And I feel like a lot of times people give into that. However, like, when you're pregnant, like, it's even more important to eat healthy and even more important to eat enough, right? You need literally like hundreds of calories more to support that, right? You need the micronutrients too, which go like directly into like development of the baby. Like, it's so key, you know, and sometimes people kind of forget that, or maybe, you know, they don't know about it even, but it's so key. So I'm very happy that you're doing it like the healthy way, you know?
Also, believe me, I'm trying, but there's also this, that's not that healthy, but I try to think a lot of the good food, like fill up with that first. And if I still want the chocolate, then of course I can do the chocolate, because of course there's heavy days. You're not feeling like yourselves. Like yourself, some days the chocolate helps, but then you want to like get in the good nutrition first.
100%. It's just a context, you know. It's like how much of it is coming from that, and that's the difference. Like having some every now and then, filling up with the whole foods, or kind of being like, I don't feel great. Let me just go for that. Let me just pick that up later, you know. Also knowing that, like, there will be some weight gain, right, with all the fluids, with like the actual baby, right? So, I mean, that's not going to be like multiple like kilos, but still, like, you know, there's changes in the body that will also lead to weight gain. And for a lot of people, it's actually healthy to gain a little bit of body fat to support that healthy pregnancy, you know? So I think also there, it's like, now you're actually eating enough, where sometimes people might want to avoid that weight gain, you know?
Which yeah, actually shouldn't. I'm just trying to, like, yeah, and I look away from the scale a bit and just try to choose healthy and trust that my intuition and what I know about health, that that will, like, guide me through the pregnancy. But before I got pregnant, of course, some of the most important stuff I learned from you was, like, how much food I should be eating. And that was a lot more than what I was eating. So now when people ask me, like, okay, how much food should I eat? I think it's hard to answer, because when you don't know the person, it's hard to, like, give that response. So I am tempted to say, like, oh, you have to track your food, blah, 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 2 weeks, send me the papers and I will. But you can't do that with everyone. And of course, you want to say that, oh, you should just listen to your body, listen to your intuition. But that's hard for people as well, because we've somewhere along the way, like, lost those signals. So I'm hoping we can use this episode to help people get a good picture of what their maintenance is-ish. I'm not sure how, but we're going to try.
Yes. No, I love that. I think, so I'm definitely going to be talking macros and tracking and stuff here. Again, if people want to do it without, that is totally fine. There are ways. But like you said, there's a lot of awareness. We talked about this last time. It's like a lot of awareness, a lot of being in tune with your actual hunger signals, satiety cues, and a lot of times it's not the case. So I'll explain kind of like what we do. And I mean, you kind of went through this with me. So you're right. It's actually very difficult. And I want people to you know, remember this. It's very difficult for a coach to just be like, right, hey, what's my maintenance calories? Here you go, boom, that's what it is, you know? It's pretty much impossible, and it's actually not right. So let me say this, like, anyone who will just give you a number, right, when you're on social media and you hit up whoever and they just give you a number, do not follow that number. It may be close enough, but they have no context and it just isn't right. And I get those questions all the time. It's like, hey, right, I just have a quick question. I want to know how much I should be eating. And then it's like, well, the only real answer is like, I don't know. I can help you figure it out. But like, I currently don't know. So let me speak to this from a, when you're figuring this out by yourself without a coach, right? Shameless plug. I mean, this is what we do with our people. Like, it is more effective and way more clear and, you know, just easier to follow, you know, when you have a coach who can hold you accountable here, because there's a few things that might be messing with you a little bit. That might, you know, avoid you even from, or keep you from, like, eating more, you know? But what I do is I do use a formula to figure out your maintenance calories. We actually have a calculator on our website. I can link that in the show notes if anyone wants to use it. You can also Google the Mifflin-St. George equation. That's the same one that we use. But to be honest with you, it's in Chronometer, the tracking app that we use. I just go there. So for anyone listening, if you use Chronometer, you can simply go to Profile and Targets and it'll give you an estimated TDEE, and that is your total daily energy expenditure. And I got to break that down for a little bit, because that is going to be your maintenance calories. What that is four components that include your exercise, which is only 5%. So I'm going to repeat that, only 5% of the calories that you burn on a daily basis is from exercise on average, which is very little, which is also why I want people to remember that. It's like, hey, like, that is why we don't exercise, to burn calories. Now next is 10%. That's digestion. So think about that too. Like, your digestion burns twice as many calories as exercise on average. Once again, third component is your NEAT. That's non-exercise activity. That's 15%. That is your walking, talking, twitching, those kind of things, even blinking and stuff. Any movement that's not like, hey, I'm going for a run or I'm going to lift weights, you know? Then we get to the biggest component, 70%. That's your BMR, your basal metabolic rate. That's literally just like, imagine like you lying still in bed, like not moving at all. There's no food in your stomach whatsoever. Just like lying there breathing, your organs are working, your heart's beating. That's 70%. 70%, right? That doesn't even cover like movement and stuff. So that's going to be that biggest chunk. So now that we understand TDEE, we can calculate how much that is. You can use the calculator. Like I said, I'll link that in the show notes. You can go to chronometer. You just pick your activity level and you'll get a rough estimate. I will say this. Usually I like to aim for the lower end. I like to look at, okay, lightly active, moderately active. What's in between? Let's look at your step count. I like to aim for that lower number, like I said, because a lot of times people like to overestimate here. It's like, oh, I'm very active. I feel you, but a lot of times like we want to be on the safe side, you know? That is the only time I calculate someone's calories with a formula. And then after that, I barely look at it anymore. This is also something people don't know. And this is something that I wish people were taught when they use a tracking app by themselves. If you think about it, like there should be like a mini course almost where it's like, hey, you're going to be tracking on your own without a coach. Here's how you do it. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. A lot of times, and I made that mistake, like I went through that in 2012 when I started tracking for the first time and, you know, I wanted to lose some weight. Couldn't figure it out. I did it way wrong, you know, like, which even ties into one of the questions that we'll get into later. But what you want to do, like you said, you do want to start tracking. I think if you're going about this on your own, like that is just going to be the way to do it, in my opinion. Because here's the thing. There's two things you can do. You can either aim for that number right away or be on the safe side and say, okay, I'm first going to track for a week, take my average, and then I'm going to see how far I'm from there. If you're way above your expected maintenance, you probably want to bring that down. If you're way below, you probably want to bring that up, but I wouldn't even just jump there, kind of depending on where you're at, but I would go halfway. Or if it's maybe like 100 calorie difference, just jump there, then that's okay. But like if we're talking like 500 calories below, maybe go in two steps, you know? As you do that, in the meantime, you got to track your weight every single day or every other day, but get that average. And I know this kind of sounds like a lot, you know? Like I wish I could just be like, hey, just do this and, you know, you get a number. But it takes time to figure out. Also for me as a coach, right? That's what we did with you. We started tracking. We started looking at weight. And then as we see, okay, are we moving closer with our calories intake-wise to that expected maintenance, what's our weight doing? If we can bring you there and we see that weight being pretty stable on average, once again, like we're pretty good. What I see a lot of times in this, literally, like, this was one of your first check-ins that you were like, I feel like a loaded gun, you know? I remember that specifically, like, you said that, but it's like, that's where you feel the energy, like, that's where you start to notice, hey, you know, I'm recovering better, performing a little bit better, I kind of sometimes sleep better, just energy throughout the day, but it's a process you want to work towards. I will say this, so those formulas, they cannot take in consideration your, like, your hormones, for example, diet history, which directly plays into your metabolism. Like if you've been under eating for a long time, your maintenance is going to be lower. So that's stuff to keep in mind. I mean, there's so many factors that play a role there. Muscle mass, for example, those formulas don't include that, right? Which also plays into your metabolism. Mm-hmm. So I use a number. It's usually pretty close to what it is in reality, but either way, we got to figure it out, right? And that's why we always start at maintenance, because then we can find that number and from there move into the next phase, which could be muscle gain, could be fat loss, but you're going to need that starting point. Make sense?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that when you start working with a coach, you're going to get all the answers and you just push play towards your goal. And of course you do, but as you say, we spent maybe the first 2 months finding out my maintenance, which was a lot higher than we thought. So you still have to like do the trial and error stuff to figure out what's your maintenance. And I think that for a lot of especially women, it's higher than they think. And somewhere along the way, they get afraid to eat more, and they can feel that their weight goes up. That can be like for a short term, and then it can go down again. So that's also why it's nice to get like support from you reminding me it's not dangerous that the weight goes up. It doesn't mean that we're doing anything wrong. It's possibly just water. I mean, there's so many factors to take into consideration, but Yeah, I think the most important thing is to find a number and just track around that and just see what happens and how you feel.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah. And speaking to that weight, like there are, so people still think or at least relate to like weight automatically meaning body fat, right? But we have food mass. Like if you eat 500 grams of food, that's 500 grams in your stomach. Makes sense. So that has weight. Usually when you eat a little bit more, sometimes a little bit salt, you know, like you hold on to more water. So there's water weight. Then there's also glycogen, muscle glycogen, which is stored carbohydrate in your muscle. Like your muscles are like a fuel tank, basically. Like that's what fuels your training. If you've been under eating and you begin to eat more, you're going to replenish that. Little fun fact, per gram of glycogen that's stored, you store 3 grams of water in your cells. So also there, you see there's so many factors that play into that weight that are not body fat. We just want to keep that in mind. And we're not going to see a trend of like multiple kilos, you know, like then we would be in a calorie surplus. And I will say that, right? Mm. I think we have even got a question about that. It's like, we want to keep track of that weight because we want to do this controlled. If we really see like a fast gain, okay, we got to dial it back, right? And then we're going to find out why that is, but maybe take smaller steps to where very few people, I will say this from experience, some people are so metabolically adapted, which just a fancy word for the metabolism has slowed down, right? Because they've underate for so long. Some people will go through that and will need sometimes multiple months to kind of fix that. Well, let me not say fix, but reverse that. Because again, metabolism slowing down is just normal. We can speed up again, but we got to do that by controlled kind of like bringing that food up. That's why we do reverse diets. That's a very small portion of the people, though. In most cases, when people think they've been under-eating, it's a combination of under-eating and then overeating during the weekends and stuff, or in the evening.
Yes, in the evening especially. I think I was partly maybe under-eating, but I can also definitely relate to the fact that you're eating a small breakfast, skipping lunch because you're busy and it's no problem. And when you get home, you get that hunger, and maybe you eat not necessarily that much, but the wrong foods, for example, chocolate and all that stuff. And especially also in the weekends, when I tracked with you, I got really surprised on how short, how fast I got up in a calorie surplus, a pretty big one, just by choosing different foods that I do in the weekdays.
Yeah. I think I like personally, again, as you already know, like I'm for tracking, you know, not as a lifestyle thing, but isn't it great to just kind of know like, oh shit, actually a pizza, because we traditionally eat a pizza per person, right? That's like more than 1,000 calories right there. Knowing that for your, you know, for your app, you know, a lot of your people are, you know, younger girls, that's like over half of your maintenance, you know, and that's one meal. And I use pizza as an example because that's always like the big one. That's always the hardest one to fit in. But isn't it great to just kind of like track that and then be like, oh shit, actually, you know what? Like that actually is a whole lot of calories. Let me now learn from that. Hey, if you still want to have the pizza, we can accommodate, we can budget basically, or we make different choices. Right? Maybe we have half a pizza. I know it sounds crazy, but like we could also have half a pizza and make it 500 calories instead of 1,000, you know?
Yeah, it is really powerful because I learned how much energy I can like eat in the weekends. And I was thinking it wasn't that bad, for in lack of a better word. and also how little food and energy I was taking in during the weekdays when I actually need the fuel, because that's when I train the most, I'm the most active. So, and I think especially for us girls and women, it's really important to keep in mind when we have our meals, we should like have them around our workouts and really fuel our workouts. And that's also something I really got reminded when working with you, how important it is to think of food as fuel and nutrition to build up the body, not necessarily just a way to spend calories.
Absolutely. Now we can actually dive into macros as well, because I feel like that's just a logic next step from your calories, because you don't just eat calories. It comes from your macronutrients, right? So with your macronutrients, you have your proteins, your carbs, your fats. And then there's basically a fourth, which is not really macronutrient. It's a toxin, poison, basically, which is alcohol. We're not going to dive into that necessarily, but I wanted to mention that because there are calories from alcohol as well. So we do need to acknowledge that. So we have 4 calories per gram for your protein and carbs, 9 calories per gram for your fats, and then alcohol is 7 calories per gram. So now that we know kind of like how many calories a macronutrient or alcohol is, we can start to kind of fill in what you need, right? Again, I'm going to keep it kind of general here. People can maybe, you know, use different calculators. Like we also, again, like we have done on the website, but like the way or the order you want to think here is you start with your protein. You start with your calories, of course. Then you go into your protein, then your fats, and then your carbs. I'll explain why. So I just taught you how to figure out your calories. That's the number one thing. That's your budget, let's call it. Now we're going to go to the most important macronutrient, protein. It's going to help you build muscle. It's going to help you maintain muscle, but it's way more than that. It's not just the looks, you know, like protein sometimes it's like people sometimes think it's like, oh, only necessary when I work out or something. Like, no, you need that. It's the most important macronutrients. And as we age, by the way, like we even need more of it to get the same work done. But okay, muscle gain, muscle maintenance. It's also relatively difficult to break down, which is good because that's going to slow down digestion, right? It's going to keep you full, I should say. It's not going to slow down digestion. It's just slower to digest, I should say. So it's going to keep you full. And that's a very big one. I can't tell you how often I've had this. It's like people come to me, they think, yeah, I'm addicted to sugar. I can't kick the chocolate cravings, whatever it is. We bring up protein and it almost just disappears in no time, like instantly. And I've had this multiple times where it's like, hey, when I see that, you know, I'm addicted to sugar, I want to see, okay, what's your intake like? First of all, are you eating enough protein? And then, of course, you know, a few other things. But it's very important because it builds you and it's involved in like uncountable processes like all throughout the body. So number one, protein. How much do you need? I mean, generally, I would say like a 1.8 grams per kilo of body weight will do the trick. You can go up to 2.2 grams per kilo of body weight if you are dieting. And that would be based off of your goal weight. Or if you know your lean body weight, like you could use that. But then again, a lot of the scales are just not, you know, not great. So I would even just go off a goal weight. You can get away with lower. There are some cases where we will do that. However, just from experience, what I've seen work best in terms of muscle gain as well as fat loss, we like to go for that 2.2. I'm going to say here, right, it's not always necessary, but I've seen that work best with people, right, in terms of staying full, building muscle, etc. So that being said, you have your calories. Now we're going to figure out the protein number. Let's say it's 150 protein. Remember, we had 4 calories per gram for protein. That means you have 600 calories from protein. So we have your TDEE. We go minus that protein number, and we're left with the calories we can now spend on fats and carbs. Next step is fats. Again, 9 calories per gram. With your fats, it's not that much that we need. For most people, it'll be, for most females, like 50 grams will be like the bare minimum. I do like to go 60 plus, 60, 70 plus when we're at maintenance. To be more specific, we could go off a 0.6 up to 0.7 grams per kilo of body weight. But either way, if we say 50, 60, we have most people covered. I'd like to keep it on that lower end for most people because most people come to us for either fat loss, muscle gain, or a combination, right? And then we have like performance and health and stuff too. But that being said, because carbohydrate is so important, I like to keep those fats lower because, again, a lot of calories, right? Now, fats are super important for your hormones, for your health. So going super low in fats is also not great, right? It also fuels your low-intensity movement. So what's left, like I said, is our carbs. So we have TDEE, your maintenance calories. You go minus whatever calories it was, or your proteins, minus the calories for your fats, and then we are left with basically our budget for carbohydrate. That is your fuel source. That's going to include some of the more filling foods. It includes also fiber, which is super important, which slows down digestion. Fats also slow down digestion, by the way, you see? So now it starts to make sense because all these things play a massive role and we should have a combination of all four. We talked about this last time. Your protein, carb, fats, and then colors. But those carbs, they're always demonized. It's something from the 90s. People are catching on. Like, you know, by now I feel like that it's not really the case that they're, you know, evil. But I still see a lot of people kind of being afraid of carbohydrate, including the more active CrossFitters and people who are into performance. It's like, no, you need your carbs. You know, like that's your fuel for your workouts. That's going to help you build muscle. It's also protein sparing, meaning like, you know, your body doesn't have to go to protein to break that down for fuel. Like you got your carbs there. So you see, it's very important to have all of them. Now, how much you're going to have in your budget is going to depend on your phase. Like I said before, we're talking in like a maintenance setting here. But again, like these things are all things to dial in first, because I get it. You want to dive into your fat loss phase. I get it, right? I get it. You want to dive into your you know, muscle gain, whatever it is. But if we notice, hey, we have that estimated maintenance calories with our optimal protein intake and fats, etc. Yet here you are actually eating way more or way less and way too little protein and barely any fiber and, you know, not enough healthy fats, then I always say, hey, let's first bring you here, at least closer to that, so that you cover all your bases. Then we can jump in. Make sense?
Yes, that's so important, because I feel, yeah, as you're saying, a lot of, some of us are eating too little food compared to how much we train, and we need to, like, just up our bodies, like, set point is a bad word, but you get the picture, before we can consider, like, dieting and cutting. Fueling our body properly before we start to cut, or bulk for that matter, or lean gain as we talked about.
Yeah, it's just one of those where you just start with like feeling good, which I think is super important, because again, like, it depends on the person, but a lot of people are coming from the meal plans, the diets, the whatever, having tried just a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, okay, let me just get you feeling good first. Let's actually get you to build some muscle. Let's actually just get a good starting point in place, you know? And again, I know you want to get started, but let's do this first. Because if you do it first, it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just think it's important to also say that it's not necessary to like track for the rest of your life, but it gives you the possibility to learn a lot about what you need. And for me now, I'm not tracking in the same way, but I now know a lot more about how much food I need. So even though I'm not tracking, I have like a new standard for myself. So I eat a lot more now than I did before. So when I talk to people, I recommend tracking, unless they have like a hard relationship with food and tracking, then it's not maybe the way to go. And it's important to learn it and do it the proper way, but also learn how to like withdraw from it and not like use it for the rest of your life, unless you wish to, of course. But the goal is to learn more about what you need, set a new standard for yourself, and then try to navigate your life and your nutrition around that new golden standard without like using tracking and logging for the rest of your life.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and I'm like a proponent of tracking, like I said. But here's the thing too. When I have clients who absolutely want to keep track, so want to keep tracking, I'll actually push them not to track. You see? Like, if I catch someone being a little too far with that, I'm like, hey, we're going to take the weekend off. Hey, we're going to take the week off. And you know what? Like, once we're at maintenance, I want you to step away from tracking. Like, show me that you can also do without, right? Again, this is where coaching is key, because you have that person who can see you taking things too far. Like I said, like, I took it too far in 2012, right? I didn't know what to do. I was like, you know, maximum weight loss per week, you know, with my fitness pal. No idea how to set my protein. I had no idea what healthy fats were and those kind of things. I took it too far, right? And then anytime I wasn't tracking, I had no idea what to do. So instead, having someone on your team who can be like, hey, you know what? I think you're taking it a little too far. Or, you know, hey, like, did you know that you should actually do this and that? It's so key, right? It's super important. And then you can have a tool that you can use if you want to, or that you can skip if you don't want to use it.
Yes, when I was moving away from tracking, that was a bit scary, because I've gotten so used to like tracking, being in control. But what I did was I just had my normal food day, and I wrote down everything I ate, just estimating how much I needed, and also trying to listening to my hunger and needs. And by the end of the day, I tracked it in the tracking app to see if I was about right with my choices, and I was. So that's a nice way of just moving out of the tracking part when you feel like you've like learned what you need, if you want to move out of it.
Absolutely. So let's actually get into a few questions.
Yeah,
because you had
definitely
a few from your people, right?
I have some questions for my people. Some of them are tracking, and Karina Helene is asking if she needs to track everything. And her examples are, does she need to track like cinnamon, creatine, sweeteners, salts? And what about like olive oil, salads, cucumber, peppers, also paprika, peppers?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you need to do that?
So let's break those like down into three sections, because you mentioned actually three completely different things. So let's start with spices, herbs, salt, you know, creatine, those kind of things. What was the other one? Sweetener, for example. If it's zero calories, which is the case for pretty much all of those, or pretty much, you know, it is the case for all of those, then you don't have to track it. So no spices, no herbs. Salt, you don't have to do, unless there's like a specific, right? If I know someone has, you know, we got to look at those levels, then maybe, but usually we don't. So, I mean, at this moment, I don't have any clients who are doing that. So no. Creatine also has no calories. You don't need to. I will say this, if it helps you, remember to take your creatine, because if you take it, you got to do it every single day. Otherwise it's a waste, because it's not going to work, right? You got to do it every single day for long periods of time. Then I would say track it, right? I track my supplements, which is mostly like a reminder for me to kind of take them and like making sure, hey, you know, am I taking them? Plus chronometer does track the micronutrients. But for those foods, you actually don't need to, right? Now we're going to go to the next one, olive oil. Absolutely. I'm going to drop an F word, but I'm trying to say the F word a little bit less these days. So absolutely. Olive oil, we just talked about fats, right? Olive oil, 9 calories per gram. Now, I will say this, olive oil is one of the healthiest fat sources you can get. If you get that extra virgin olive oil, super good for you. However, it's also really easy to kind of pour, you know, 10, you know, like, I mean, 10 is quite a bit already. But like, I don't know, let's use that as an example, like 10 grams of olive oil, that's like 90 calories, right? Almost 100. It adds up. It really adds up. So fat sources you should absolutely be tracking. Yeah, when you're tracking, like, just do it right. There's no point in like half-assing it, you know? Which brings me to the next one as well. cucumber.
Just can I ask you, do I need to track, like, when I'm cooking and I'm using some butter in the pan, should I like track that as well? I feel like that just disappears.
No, it doesn't. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, part stays on the pan, you know what I mean? But we're using it, so yeah, I mean, so yes, also that. And you'd be surprised too, like how much that adds up. This is what I mean. It's like when we track, let's make it count, right? And if we don't, okay, cool. But it's just a learning, you know, experience basically. So let's just add it. Let's see how much it is, you know? But going into the veggies, and I've seen this in a Facebook group where people were like, my coach told me, my PT told me to not track my fruits and vegetables and those kind of things. Again, learning opportunity. Me as the coach, I want to see if you're eating your fruits and vegetables. Is it very high in calories? No, but it does add up. So you'd be surprised, right? For example, banana, 20, 25 carbs, that's 100 calories once again. Now, fruits are usually not the issue, like we talked about last time. Like fruits are usually not the bad guy. But still, like I want to see that food log, because here's the thing, here's why we do it. It's awareness, it's creating awareness. We have specific guidelines for our people. It's like, hey, 1 to 3 servings of fruit per day, 2 to 4 servings of veggies per day. Are you actually having them? If you're not tracking it, right? First of all, we have inaccurate calories. And second, you don't have a log of like what you are actually eating, which those foods being high in fiber now also plays into that fiber target. So we haven't talked about fiber today yet because it's not a macronutrient. However, it's super key for digestion. And if you do want to calculate that, it's 14 grams per 1,000 calories of your intake. That should be your fiber. So for a lot of people, it's going to be 25, 30, 35. Super important for health. Super important for digestion. That is also why we should be tracking your fruits and vegetables, because now we can look at that number and see, hey, you know, if you're a little bit more advanced, okay, let's now bring that fiber up as well. Because that's a direct correlation of your food quality. Makes sense? So other than spices and those kind of things that don't have calories, yeah, absolutely. Track it. Everything, right? Fruits, vegetables. I don't care if it's low calories. I know that, especially like a little bit of cucumber. But again, it's just that learning opportunity. Just do it right. And even then, it's just a lesson, you know? It's like, oh, shit. This is only a few calories. Okay, now we know for the future. But just log it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, second question. If you're at the end of your day and you can see that you're missing a lot of macros, what should you prioritize first? Protein, fat, or carbohydrates?
Nice one. This one comes up a lot. So it depends if you're tracking macros or calories and protein. Calories and protein is a little bit more simplified, like you have a bit more freedom when it comes to your carbs and fats. But let's say you are tracking macros, meaning we're going to try to hit all three numbers, protein, carbs, and fats. I will always say, like, if your numbers are way off, just switch to calories and protein. Like, try to fill up your proteins first of all, right? As long as you can stick within your calories, within reason. So it's going to highly depend. Because are you over your calories? Are you under? Are you pretty much there and your protein is too low? So it's going to depend. There's like three different scenarios here. But let me say this. At the end of the day, calories are king. Calories are going to, you know, basically make the weight go up, down, or stay the same. So calories first. Very close second would be protein. Like ideally, I want to see both, right? And then your proteins and carbs. Now, let's say you have a little bit of everything to fill in. It'll depend on how much, but you can fill that in with specific foods. So if you're thinking your protein sources, foods that are highest in protein, so most calories are coming from protein, your meat, fish, your dairy products, those are going to be high in protein, so it's easiest to just get your protein up with. If we're thinking carbs, okay, we have a little bit of room for bread, whole grains, you know, fruits, veggies, potatoes, those kind of things, oats. If we are short on fats, we can add some nuts, some seeds, some extra virgin olive oil, avocado, those kind of things. So it just depends where you're at. It's a difficult question because there's like three different answers basically. But try to stick to your calories. Try to hit your proteins. And let me say this. Also use it as a lesson. This is the most important part. Use it as a lesson for tomorrow. If you consistently overshoot your fats or you eat too little protein, that's not bad, but use the information so that you can learn from. So that you can say, okay, cool. So I'm short on protein. Now let me make a point of sitting down, looking at some protein options, plan a little better, and then we just try to do a little bit better tomorrow.
Yes, definitely. It's a learning process. The last question, when you start tracking food and you're supposed to be at maintenance, but you notice that the weight is starting to crawl up, how much upwards, so how much gain should you allow before you start to adjust your intake?
Yeah.
And how much should you adjust?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So this is where I feel like I do this almost more like intuitive than anything, but initially, if you bring that food up, we'll at least see more weight fluctuations a lot of times. There could be a little bit of a gain. But this is where you want to track your measurements, because I can't tell you how often I've seen people lose fat and build muscle around this time where you bring food up. So other than weight, do your measurements, do your photos. Sounds tedious, but it'll also allow you to see, hey, okay, my weight is doing, you know, it's going a little crazy sometimes, but my measurements are improving. And in my photos, I look leaner. Oh, by the way, my pants are, you know, fitting looser. So those are things to pay attention to. But okay, that's already like, as you can tell, I always kind of go in every direction with my answers. But let's say that weight goes up a little. Okay, if it's a little bit, you know, a couple hundred grams, not the end of the world. Next week, if that's still the case, okay, I want to start paying attention to that. However, if it's less, I would still keep that same intake. Then, right, week three, for example, like if you really see that trend and it's a consistent, almost like, I mean, it's still going to be up and down, but if it's a consistent trend, I want to slow that down and I'm going to maybe go back 50 to 100 calories on the way down, depending on how fast it's going. Then I would try to figure out why that is. Am I way far from that expected maintenance calories? Okay. Is it maybe an issue with tracking? Like, are we tracking everything? Are we weighing everything? A lot of times, like, that's the answer. At least with my clients from experience, I've seen that where it's like, hey, all of a sudden we're gaining and stuff where we're not really supposed to. Okay, let's put on our detective heads and figure that out. A lot of times it's like inaccurate tracking. There's research on this too. People underestimate how much they, you know, actually take in. So that's the big one. Look at your tracking. Look at just overall intake, how far you are. But I will say that, like, drop your calories by maybe 50 to 100 when you see that trend continue. If you then still don't know what to do, just hit me up on Instagram. Right? Just hit me up there. I can help. We can maybe look into it if you want to. But at that point, like, if you just don't know necessarily what to do, I would definitely reach out. Because again, like, the last thing I want you to do is trying to find maintenance and then gain a whole bunch. Because that's not maintenance. That's a surplus. Right?
Yeah. That's a good answer. It's not easy, but if you choose to do this process, it will really learn a lot about your body and your nutrition. And in the long run, I feel like it's so much to win and gain. So it's definitely worth your time, although it is a lot of effort, especially in the beginning. But when you've just gotten the hang of things, it goes a lot more smoothly.
Yeah. I will say this too, a little bit of gain. I mean, when we take people like yourself into a muscle gain phase, that comes with weight gain. So if you see a little bit and it's not that much, it might just be going to muscle for the most part, if it's not too fast, you know? So that's the one I wanted to mention. And lastly, it's worth the effort, you know? I feel like sometimes, at least, you know, in 2024, everything needs to be convenient and quick and fast and effortless. But in reality, that's not how health and fitness works, unfortunately. That's what people try to market to you because they're smart and they know you want that quick fix. But it is going to require effort. Like, if you want the results to last, if you really want to look like you work out, you want to have that muscle and lose fat, invest a couple months into learning how to track. Invest a couple months into, you know, and I'm saying a couple months, like it'll take a little bit longer, but invest the time and effort because you're going to benefit off of that, like for life, basically, you know? That being said, Pia, let's wrap this one up, and then we wanted to talk about periodization next time. So where we're going to talk about basically conflicting goals, kind of how to plan for your, you know, your nutrition and training altogether. That being said, for our new listeners, do you want to also ask, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram. My name there is Pia Seberg, and they also, you can also find my information at piaseberg.no. And I don't know if we said it, but I'm like a former client of Johan. I've done this journey myself. And I also coach a lot of clients in my own online apps, and that's why I'm here. He has written a lot of articles for us, and in that process, we also have a lot of questions. And so we figured we could make some episodes where I'm asking Johan everything we're wondering about, and that's what these talks are about. I'm really happy about the possibility to just ask you everything and really geek out on nutrition. I know we're a big bunch that really appreciate that possibility, so thank you. Men ja, piaseberg.no, piaseberg på Instagram.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a blast. I really rediscovered my passion for like writing too, by the way, like once I started writing the articles for your app. So very grateful for that. We will be back soon. To our listener, of course, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to drop us a quick 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, or share this in your Instagram stories. And then we will talk very soon.
Bye.
All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.